Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
A lot of stuff getting done. No Badgers either. We're supposed to do
Badgers.
It ourselves.
Well, I mean, there's other games on. You don't have to, you know, have a rooting interest. But, I mean, it's going to be nice. I mean, you know, go for a walk or something outside.
Spend time
outside.
With your family.
Spend
go
time.
For a walk.
I mean,
see the sun.
Yeah.
It's...
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 6:11 on a Friday morning, we have unfinished business.
Was that you calling it to order?
Yes, call to order. We have unfinished business. Robert's Rules of Order. Mike Spaulding in for Eric Bilstead this morning. Good to see you, Mike.
Happy to be part of the show.
So, Robert's Rules of Order for Parliamentary Procedure. Unfinished business. These are the items that have been carried over from last meeting that must now be addressed at this meeting.
Point of order.
Thank you.
What is your point of order?
The point of order is you're out of order. It's not on the agenda.
Well, it is on the agenda. Today, unfinished business. Want to quickly rip through a couple of stories that we covered at length on the program on Thursday. Eric off today, but he's decided this, Mike, will be the theme song for our Mitchell Park Domes coverage.
I cannot hear the song and not think of the domes now.
Right,
so.
You know, at least one of those domes is steamy. The
synonymous
tropical dome,
with
right?
Each other.
Yeah. The measure discussed on Thursday's program to ultimately transfer control of the Mitchell Park Domes to the Friend of the Domes support group and then chip in $30 million by the county to reimagine Mitchell Park and the conservatory there passed unanimously by the county board.
What this is the county officially taking the position saying, yes, we want to save the domes. Yes, we want to do it in partnership with Friends of the Domes. And we see that this is a viable path forward.
That's the executive director of Friends of the Domes, Krista Beal Diefenbach, on Wisconsin's Morning News Thursday. So that plan, $124 million in all, is moving forward.
Point of order.
Point of order. Other unfinished business this morning, Mike. We were right. Were you playing along as you listened to the program?
I was going to text in, but then I Mike from the south side of Milwaukee.
Hey, I'm Mike on the south
weighs
side.
In.
It's given the riddle that we solved here on Wisconsin's Morning News about a major concert announcement at American Family Field. It is, in fact, Billy Joel and Sting. The riddle we were given by a source. He was previously married to a very attractive woman. And he is being joined by a former law enforcement member.
The law enforcement member, I think, was the one that gave it away.
Right. And then once you had the Sting piece, you could say, well, with whom has Sting performed?
Yeah.
I think they had a show. It's either tonight or yesterday in Vegas.
So warming up.
They're on tour together. Indeed. Billy Joel and Sting.
This is like one of the bigger shows of that tour, though, right? This is the only. Did I hear that right from Rick Schlesinger yesterday? This is the only ballpark that the two are going to be playing. So that's kind of cool for Milwaukee.
Put a lot of people in there.
A lot of.
At American Family Field. Tickets. Let me get you that information. The show will be April 26th of next year. Tickets go on sale to the general public a week from today.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Finally, we get a W for your Milwaukee Bucks.
Here's a steal. Lillard knocks it away, picked up by Giannis. Here's Jackson lobbing to Giannis on the other side, and he punches it through on a beautiful alley-oop. Ajax to the freak, and Giannis finishes with the best.
In a matchup of 2-1-6 teams at Fiserv Forum Thursday, your Bucks emerged victorious over the Utah Jazz, 123-100. Giannis finished with 31 points and 16 rebounds. He just played just about 30 minutes. Meanwhile, his partner in crime, Dame Lillard,
pulls up just inside the arc, knocks it down. Damian Lillard, automatic right there himself. He's got 31.
Lillard ultimately
leads all scorers tonight.
Thank you, Dave Kane. Ultimately, Lillard ended with 34 points in the win. Bucks and head coach Doc Rivers trying something new Thursday, and you heard his name called, Ajax. That's Andre Jackson Jr. He made his first appearance in the starting lineup this season. Doc said the move was made in an effort to energize a team and little spark in the starting five.
Andre Jackson Jr. ties his career high with 4 assists in his first start of the season. Just what head coach Doc Rivers has been looking for.
Playing kind of that connector role. I was wondering how important is it to have connectors when you have two top 10 scorers?
That was the other reason that went into starting him. I'm sitting there with my coach. I said, can I have one guy in the lineup that's not trying to score, but knows how to play and get to the right spot? And he did exactly that. He ended up scoring points, but he did it through being the connector most of the time. It was phenomenal.
At Fiserv Forum, Dylan Hunter-Carter, WTMJ Sports.
The Bucks are now 2-6 on the season. No rest for the Bucks, though. Back at it in New York against the Knicks tonight. Coverage on WTMJ starts after the 6 o'clock news.
College basketball to be inside the cozy confines of the Al McGuire Center tonight. Marquette hosts George Mason University, 8 p.m. tip. Wisconsin beat Montana State Thursday night 79-67. And the Panthers fell to, Northern Iowa Panthers over UW Milwaukee Panthers 87-68. No football this weekend.
I don't know what that means.
Me neither. It means the Badgers are off tomorrow and the Packers are off Sunday, both on a bye. That was poorly timed. Couldn't they have collaborated or something?
Bucky returns, are we going to do?
Right. Well, here's what's going to happen. Bucky returns to get boat raced again in prime time. Number one Oregon coming to town for a 6:30 p.m. kick a week from tomorrow. Packers will return the following day. We'll get back to practice next week as they prepare to face the Bears in Chicago November 17th. But we do a Badgers volleyball back-to-back tonight, 6 p.m. versus Iowa at the Kohl Center. And then tomorrow afternoon, we'll have the game here on WTMJ. It's a 2:30 start against number 3 Penn State. We'll get you started with the pre-match show 2 o'clock on your home for Badgers volleyball, 620. WTMJ. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. I came to win. Battle me, that's a sin.
The main thing is right now is it was reported to us. The staff acted quickly and fast, and we were able to quickly find the individual, bring it to where the kids could all be reunited with their family, and our investigation is going to continue.
A tragedy thwarted in Kenosha Thursday. The Kenosha Police Department says it believed it stopped a potential school shooting at Roosevelt Elementary School Thursday morning. They say a 13-year-old boy walked into the school with what they describe as a, quote, suspicious bag and was also acting suspiciously. Kenosha Police Chief Patrick Patton.
Suspect was intercepted by school staff members, and he fled on foot. The Kenosha Police Department saturated the area and immediately began investigating the incident. As the investigation began to unfold, we requested the assistance from the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department and the Pleasant Prairie Police Department. Our social media team, in tandem with Kenosha Unified, Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Pleasant Prairie Police Department, posted the photo of the suspect, and we immediately asked for the community's help. We received numerous tips regarding the identity and location of the person depicted in the photo. Some of those tips guided our investigation and led to the arrest of a 13-year-old KUSD student.
Again, that's Kenosha Police Chief Patrick Patton. So here's how it played out yesterday. The 13-year-old walked up to the school, attempted to gain access into the school through various doors. He found them all locked. He then went to the front door, so he was able to either just open that front door or he was buzzed in. At that point, he was in an entrance area, like that vestibule between like the front door and then the actual doors to let you into the school building. You know, when you walk into a school, it's like your left-hand side. Normally, you'll have the big window. The secretaries are there. You give them your ID, check in. You speak at schools. You know what it looks like.
I walk into school all the time. If you have kids at school and have gone to pick them up or done anything in school, yes, you can get in those first doors, but then someone is there behind the glass to make sure that when they let you into the rest of the school, right, it's somebody who's cleared to do that.
So that's what happened. He was then confronted by school staff members. I believe the superintendent said it ultimately was a teacher. When they questioned him what the boy was doing, he then fled on foot. He was arrested a couple hours later. Again, tragedy averted. So what stuck out to me on this story, Vince, were a couple of things. One was the way that the school staff acted, letting the boy into the secure area, questioning him, then confronting him. That's exactly what they're supposed to do, and they've learned through training, as said by District Superintendent Jeffrey Weiss.
Student safety is a top priority, and our safety measures are designed to provide a safe learning and working environment. Our buildings with secured entrances, like Roosevelt, provide us with an extra layer of protection. I want to acknowledge our staff, who acted quickly and engaged law enforcement so they could do their part to detain the suspect. They may not have known in the exact moment what was happening, but their actions were heroic and prevented the unfathomable. The support that followed from the Kenosha Police Department, the Kenosha Sheriff's Department, Pleasant Prairie Police Department, Mayor Bogdala, and all other surrounding law enforcement agencies was nothing short of astounding.
The other thing that stuck out to me was something that you heard the police chief say just a few minutes ago regarding who helped out with this incident.
Social media team in tandem with Kenosha Unified, Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Pleasant Prairie Police Department, posted the photo of the suspect, and we immediately asked for the community's help.
The social media team, Chief Patton says, because the suspect had posted a video of himself on social media.
We can confirm that we received at least one video depicting the suspect holding what we believe is a firearm. We also have information that the suspect performed multiple internet searches related to school shootings prior to the incident. The video will show the suspect walking with what we believe to be a rifle. He manipulates the rifle and appears to be practicing room entry techniques. It was this video, coupled with some of the aforementioned information we had today, that drove our massive response by law enforcement.
So you can't see the video here on the radio, obviously, but we did get a peek at what they looked like. The Kenosha Police Department did show the videos at that press conference at 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, and it's exactly as he describes. There was a like camera set up like you would do a TikTok dance, essentially, like on the floor, angled up, and you could see the boy walking back and forth and aiming the gun and all doing all those types of things. He was eventually arrested again about 2 o'clock on Thursday afternoon.
But that's so one of the reasons you got to stay in touch with your kids and make sure that if they're not comfortable coming to you or comfortable coming forward publicly, there are channels in virtually every school district to report things anonymously when you see this stuff on social media. They're in a position also to police themselves about things that they see that disturb them and make sure they're properly investigated. Tragedy averted indeed in Kenosha. No Middleton, Giannis limited, but the Bucks bounce back. We've got sports at 6:45.
One of the early internet most recognizable voices has died.
You may not know his name, but if you were on the early internet, you almost certainly know his voice.
You've got mail.
Elwood Edwards, the man behind the AOL email alert sound, died this week at his home in North Carolina. And while he also voiced other messages for the service, like
welcome
and
goodbye,
it was the You've Got Mail soundbite that Edwards came to be known for. It was even the name of a 1998 Nora Ephron romantic comedy.
You've Got Mail.
Edwards was 74. Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
I wonder what kind of contract he signed. Like, you know, actors and stuff, they get residuals when their things are in circulation. A little bit here, a little bit there. Every time there's a new rights deal signed. Like, did he get like a fraction of a penny?
Probably. What was it, in Office Space? Like the 0.01 cent of every dollar spent or whatever they got.
And still would have been a real rich guy.
I'll be honest. I didn't know that it was an actual voice. I always thought it was like a computer voice. I didn't realize it was a real man.
This was before computer voices were that good.
I guess so. So I apologize to Elwood Edwards, icon that no
all
one knew.
All these years, you didn't
all
know.
These years.
6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Not at all surprised, because this is what happens, and it's why I've chosen to pick this one instance to illustrate a larger point. Mike, you know, because Mike's our boss technically here. Mike Spaulding in for Eric here.
Technically.
Today you are co-host.
Yes, I am. I'm a teammate today.
But you know, we've been following for a year now this case out of Waukesha County Court of an alleged freeway shooter who once again appears to have found a way to manipulate the legal system and remain free on bail despite the serious charges against her. Thanksgiving week 1 year ago, somebody shot up a car on the freeway, eastbound lanes of I-94. It was during the morning rush. Debbie was on it. We were watching them shut down the freeway. Rosita Sims, later arrested, accused of pulling a gun with her child in the car and during a road rage moment, firing off shots at another vehicle as they were approaching the Zoo interchange on the freeway. Nobody was hurt. This is the woman, Rosita Sims, now 28, who, according to the criminal complaint, uttered the infamous phrase, "I got three go-tos, a gun, a knife, or mace." In this case, it appears it was the gun.
The big three.
Yes. Those are the big three weapons. Yes. This happened a year ago. She changed lawyers, challenged competency, host of stalls and delays while she's been out on bail, charged with multiple felonies. She was in court Thursday for a plea and sentencing hearing. We told you that on the program. On Thursday, it suggested that finally there would be a conviction of some kind if you have a plea hearing and a sentence. But instead, Reading through the court record, Sims once again trying to argue she may not be competent to stand trial, and her attorney is withdrawing from the case. So no plea, no sentence, another delay, another stall, as Sims is now requesting time to once again find another lawyer. And the court has granted her that opportunity. So we kick the can down the road again. A woman alleged to be dangerous enough to pull a gun with her kid in the car on the freeway and start firing off shots, still out, still stalling, and due once again in court later this month. Sports up next at 6:44.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Yeah, and the Bucks have won a game.
Here's Lillard. Drives inside. Scissors his way through the defense and lays it in at the cup. That has been his bread and butter tonight.
Yeah, Dame and Giannis combining for 65 points in the Bucks 123-100 win over the hapless Utah Jazz. Thursday night, a bit of a new look for the Bucks starting five. Second-year man Andre Jackson inserted into the starting lineup for the first time this season.
Andre Jackson Jr. ties his career high with four assists in his first start of the season. Just what head coach Doc Rivers has been looking for.
Playing kind of that connector role. I was wondering how important is it to have connectors when you have two top 10 scorers?
That was the other reason that went into starting him. Sitting there with my coach, I said, can I have one guy in the lineup that's not trying to score, but knows how to play and get to the right spot? And he did exactly that. He ended up scoring points, but he did it through being the connector. Most of the time, it was phenomenal.
At Fiserv Forum, Dylan Hunter-Carter, WTMJ Sports.
No rest for the Bucks. Won't be lauding that win for very long. They're back in action tonight in New York, taking on the Knicks at Madison Square Garden. Coverage gets underway at 6 o'clock right here on WTMJ.
College hoops. Wisconsin remains unbeaten, though untested. Beat Montana State Thursday night, 79-67. UWM 1-1 on the season now. Lost to Northern Iowa last night, 87-68. Marquette plays tonight at the Al McGuire Center. Packers fans get the weekend off. Unfortunate timing as Badger football is also on a bye. What gives?
A lot of honey-do lists this weekend, I think, are going
to
get done.
Now that we have time to. Badgers host Penn State next week, and the Packers will travel to Chicago coming off their bye week. If you got to have some football action, though, high school playoffs now, just a couple of games from making it to state. Division One, Arrowhead at Maguanago. Marquette will host Bayport. Muskego travels to Nina. Division Two, Homestead, the Highlanders, headed to Slinger to face the Owls. Badger hosts Milton. D3, Green Bay Notre Dame coming down to Grafton. Catholic Memorial has Mount Horeb. New Berlin West and Wisconsin Lutheran. D4, Mayville, Racine St. Cats, Columbus, Lake Mills, all still alive. I'm not doing 5, 6, or 7 yet this week because we only have so much time. I know, apologies to a few of the smaller schools from our area that are still alive. We'll hit you next week when we have a smaller field. And Badgers volleyball, Iowa tonight at the Kohl Center. Tomorrow's game, 2 p.m. broadcast time right here on WTMJ as Lady Badgers host the number 3 team in the land, Penn State. At 6:52 on Wisconsin's Morning News, Mike Spaulding in for Eric Bilstead today, and our friend from ESPN Milwaukee, Gabe Neitzel, in this house. I'm telling you, when I worked in Green Bay for WFRV-TV Channel 5 Eyewitness News, when the bye week came, that was the story.
What do you mean that was the story?
When the Packers
isn't,
were
isn't
on
the
a bye.
Point of the bye week is there is no story?
Well, the story was often, depending on when the bye would fall, particularly if it was during the holiday season, we do how like businesses were overjoyed. Oh, people are going to come out of their house on this Sunday and actually shop or do something, anything other than remain shut in and watching the game. It was a legit news story in Green Bay.
So the Packers obviously have an economic impact on Green Bay just because, you know, 80,000 people are going to one spot. But you're telling me that the economic impact would continue just elsewhere in the city.
Yes.
When they didn't play because people would actually, you know, get their holiday shopping.
I think it was closer to the holiday season, had to be when the bye fell one time when I was reporting on the weekends. And they sent me to the mall And these businesses are like, this is great. It's going to be just great. All
so part of schedule watching in Green Bay is not just, okay, where do my tickets fall? Where do my package tickets fall? But it's also, where is the buy? So that way businesses can actually get some business.
When are we going to do anything else?
I'll say it's the honey-do list weekend, right?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of stuff getting done. No Badgers either. We're supposed to do Badgers. It ourselves.
Well, I mean, there's other games on. You don't have to, you know, have a rooting interest. But, I mean, it's going to be nice. Me, you know, go for a walk or something outside.
Spend time outside. With your family.
Go for a walk. I mean, see the sun.
Yeah. It's, I know it's not typically what we're used to or want to do. But, you know you got to build up that equity.
Are there games you got your eye on this weekend?
You know, just kind of keeping an eye really on the Bears. I know they're playing the New England Patriots. The Bears should win that game. But after that, it gets really tough for the Bears, starting with the Packers. So just kind of doing a little, hey, okay, we'll check in on the Bears, see how they look before the Packers have to travel to Chicago next week. I mean, the game of the week was last night and ended up, you know, living up to that billing with the Ravens winning 35-34. But yeah, we're getting to that point in the NFL season where, you know, teams are starting to separate themselves. And I think that's why, you know, this is an important time for the Packers, even though they have the bye, to kind of fix some of the issues that have been ailing them. They're, you know, in third place in the division. There's a chance that that game against the Bears, if they win, is the loser ends up in last place in the division, right? So
they're, and maybe still making the playoffs.
Yeah, well, so that's the crazy part is right now the Packers are closer to last place in the division than they are first place, and it feels like at 6-3, you feel pretty happy with that. It's just that's how the division's gone this
year.
You
know, I feel sometimes that the bye week comes at a terrible spot. You know, your winners are three straight. Now you got a bye week. The bye week this year doesn't seem like it couldn't have come at a better time for the Packers. You have Jordan Love limping around out there. You have receivers that, for some reason, for the past 2 weeks, can't really catch a football. You have, you know, it just seems like it's coming at the right time for the team.
I feel every NFL team will tell you that whenever their bye week is, oh, this is the perfect time for the bye. This is great for us. This is perfect for it. But, I mean, there have been times where the Packers have had the bye like 4 or 5 weeks in, and that's just tough because it gives... I mean, realistically, having it right in the smack dab in the middle of your season, I think, is fantastic. Because, like you said, I mean, right now, I mean, first of all, they are kind of beat up. You know, for as healthy as they were for the first, you know, seven games of the season, you know, no Jair in the last game. You know, you mentioned Jordan Love being beat up. You know, Josh Jacobs played through an ankle injury. So just a little bit more time to rest these guys up because half of the remaining games are divisional games. 4 of the 8 games are against divisional opponents, 2 against the Bears, and then you still have to... go on the road to Minnesota and Chicago and Minnesota and Detroit as well. So I'm with you there, Mike. I think this is a perfect time for the Packers to get healthy and kind of take a step back and be like, okay, what went wrong in that first half of the season? What can we correct?
Oh, by the way, the Bucs won a game.
Yeah, by
like
23
that?
Points. I was a little frustrated watching in the first half yesterday because the Jazz are terrible. That's what they turned it around in the second half. That's what you're supposed to do against a really bad team. Win that thing by 20-plus points. Tough now tonight. They have to travel to the Knicks in New York at MSG. This is a tough stretch for the Bucks, and getting off to the slow start that they did, not very good for them. I mean, they've got the Knicks, and then they've got the Celtics here on Sunday. So if you want to check out a great, you know, hopefully a good basketball game, maybe head over to Fiserv Forum for that on Sunday with no Packers game. But this is a tough stretch for the Bucks, and they don't have a ton of time to sit around and go, oh, well, what do we got to do to figure it out? They just have to figure it out on the fly.
Why don't you go to the mall or something on Sunday? You know, help the business.
I got tickets. I'm going to the Bucks game.
Okay. Then the mall. 6:57. Thank you, Gabe, on Wisconsin's Morning News.